I love my church. Do you have this? I love my church. Do you love your church?
Yes.
Do you love your church?
Yes.
If you love the church, what do? You must assemble together here, isn't it?
Yes.
Why do we assemble? We are citizens, fellow citizens of saints of God. Number two, we assemble as members of the household of God. Amen. Why do we assemble? To establish one another, to encourage another one in the faith, to equip them to be saints for evangelism. Amen. So this is the purpose we gather here as a church. A church is not the building. A church is? Hello? A church is? You and I. It's not a building. A church is? You and I. So turn around to next person. Hi, member of the household. Good morning to you. You look handsome. You look beautiful. Can you rub that onto me? Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Is that right? So we come here for a reason and a purpose. We are gathered here for one purpose. We are not here to minister to people and to become leaders of a church for one person. There is nobody is greater than here. If there is anyone who has come to this church looking for the pastor, you've got the wrong church. If you're coming here looking for Jesus Christ, you've got the right church. Amen? If you're coming here to look for the pastor, what the pastor can't do anything without Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you're coming here to look for a group of people gathered together who have got their life dedicated to Jesus Christ, this is the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are going to enter into another realm of seasons that God is going to bless. Next month is the month of Hebrew New Year. So Hebrew New Year next year is going to be a change. Next month is going to change in the atmospheric realm. Number one, is going to change the entire world realm supernaturally. Secondly, the Lord showed me He is going to move a lot of things in the world. He's going to move the lampstand, which is now is based in Korea, to Indonesia. He's moved. And come this October 15th onwards, 16th onwards, you'll find a greater things of movement that will move. I asked the Lord, I'm going to preach. You release me to go to Indonesia. Tell me what you're going to do to Indonesia. He says, Indonesia will be the source of faith for the other regions. Amen. Because Indonesia, whom you look down on, now they're going to rise up higher. Even their currency will be higher. I'm telling you this, invest. I told you many years ago that, invest in gold. Nobody want to listen. A few of them listen. I told you, keep cash. You did not list, keep cash. I'm telling you now, keep cash and also invest. Keep cash and invest. Because God is going to do a movement, a great movement in the entire realm. The Spirit of God is going to move from the east. And moving, as He's moving, He's going to do a lot of mighty works. Indonesia will rise up. They will send people to different nations. Within the next 3 years, you will see Indonesians will be rising up. Pastors, prophets will rise up from the nation and go to different countries and different nations to bring forth, even from China, even from India, Bangladesh, they will go forth. Because the church is too lukewarm. God is looking for somebody who's very hot. If you're not hot, you're not in the hands of God. If you're lukewarm, He says, I'll spew you out. See, God is looking for people who are hot for Him now. We have to be hot. We have to be on a hill for Him. Amen? God is going to move entirely a new spram in Philippines. I'm telling you this. In the year 2006, I prophesied in Philippines. And I said, my nation, I don't mind, it's recorded. I speak it very publicly. And I said, my nation, where I come from, a person is interested in your nation. And he is one of the causes for the upheaval in Mindanao. They are interested in the petroleum of a nation. I said that. It's a conference of, I remember it was a conference of Christ for the Nation, if I'm mistaken. And this happened the other day when I heard somebody, a big company, corporation, is now invested in Malaysia because they are interested in this subsidiary company to take over the oil fund in Palawan. Indonesia, Philippines will puncture the Palawan area to get oil. God blessed the nation of Ghana last year. Oil was found, and they are now rich. Malaysia was also interested in Nigeria, and has got Nigeria part of it. Petroleum from here is gone. We are living on somebody else's profits, what God is blessing them. Let's not be dependent on somebody else. Christians, rise up and start thinking and work for God and have a heart for Lord and look at it. And the nation of Malaysia is also interested in Aceh. I'm telling you this. They will puncture another hole there to receive oil there. You will see East Timor puncturing oil this time next year. You'll find oil. And I pray the nation of in Philippines, the leadership will change. Leadership will have God for people. God will be God-hearted person. A person who will have a heart for them. God will shake the Philippines next year. And a lot of people will be exposed, just like in Malaysia. A lot of people will be exposed. A lot of leaders will be exposed. There are about 14 group people in Philippines who are controlling the economy of the nation of the Philippines. And I'm telling you, they will be exposed. They will be exposed. Because when God wants to bless, He wants it to go to the people, not to some people. Same in this nation of Malaysia. You'll find a shaking. You'll find a shaking that is going to happen from this month, next month onwards. Although the repeal of the certain acts which are redundant has been announced, but the craftiness of Satan will come upon some people. And the nation of Malaysia, let's look forth for something new to happen in our nation. There'll be changes. There'll be changes in administration. There'll be changes in the things that is going to happen. But God will be still in control of this nation. Continue praying. The church must be righteous. If the church is not righteous, the nation cannot be righteous. Anywhere the church has to be righteous. A church should be a prayerful church. If a church is not prayerful, it is not coming to God. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. Speaking back to God. Speaking to God, communicating with Him. That's prayer. It's not asking. Amen? God has got a purpose for this nation. God has got a purpose for every church in this nation. And God has got a purpose for this church. Rise, saints of God. Rise. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank You this morning, O Father. Even as I speak, O Father, let every word, O Father, that I speak this morning will come from You, only from You, no one else. I thank You, Lord, for the visions and the words that You give, O Father God. Even what has been spoken, You will fulfill, O Father, because it comes from You. Whatever comes from the flesh, You will eradicate, Lord. Whatever comes from the flesh, Your children here will not hear it, Lord. They will only hear Your voice and Your word. Fill to every person, O Father, here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. Amen. And I want to cancel, if there is a fear instilled in some people, sometimes some of us preach in fear. Some of us live in fear. Fear that authority will come us. If there is anything that has been preached in this church which consists to give you fear, I cancel it today by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be bold people. We are people of boldness. God has given us boldness. Jesus Christ has given us the boldness to speak where we want and where we can go. So we do not fear of anyone to speak about the word of God. We do not fear any man or woman or authority that to claim that I am of Christ Jesus. Amen? So if there is any fear instilled in you, I cancel it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Wonderful. You will see India, something moving in India very soon. India, the nation of China, you will find economy of China too will be different. They will prosper for a while. You'll see a lot of things will change. You'll see India moving out differently. They will grow up, but the crab mentality will pull them down. Bangladesh will grow. A new administration shall come into Bangladesh. God will place them there. There'll be a change in Pakistan. There'll be a change, second change in Pakistan. A land called Bhutan and Mongolia will rise up. And man and woman of God will go and preach the word of God there. Where it's a dry land. It's a land which is so dry. which is so dry that if thirsty, God has to give that Spirit of God unto them. So man and woman of God, rise up, minister to them. Mongolia and also Bhutan. Praise God. Some of you here has got a big burden in your heart. Do not worry. God says, do not worry. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. You see it only for a few days. After that, things will come. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Shalom. Shalom. Praise God. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Can someone bold enough to rise up and read the Word of God boldly and loudly? Sister Honey, can you do that? The whole chapter. John chapter 14. Praise God.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. To him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here.
Praise God. Thank you for the word of God. Amen. Are you tired, sister, by reading it? Refreshed. Amen. Wonderful. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, my theme today for the message is called catchword. What's a catchword? Or some of them call watchword. Catchword or watchword. You've read the whole entire chapter 14 of John Gospel, and there is one catchword. If you can catch it, then we can go on with our life. There is one catchword that God used and Jesus used it, and we know that, and we catch that fire and we get to the next portion. How many of us in your life have got a motto? You've got a motto in your life written down in your cupboard or a book or somewhere, and every year your motto changes. What's your mission? My mission last 5 years ago was different. Today different because I was last time in a different country, now I'm different country. Last time was different job, now I'm different job. Your moods change the missions and whatever motto you have in your life. Is that right? How many of you had a slogan in your life? How many of you had a slogan? Lord have mercy on me. It looks like I'm the only one who had a slogan in my life. Or that somebody else has got a slogan there. Okay, 1%, 2%. My slogan in my life was, life is to live, not exist. The second slogan is, he who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror, by Napoleon Hill. These were the two slogans. I have my business card. You'll see two words on it. He who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror. The next month you'll see my card is, life is to live, not to exist. My business card will have the same. So every month I will change. So 1 month will be he who conquers himself. Next one will be life is to live, not to exist. How many of us live and not exist? How many of us live, don't exist? Only I see two hands up. The rest are not living. Oh my gosh. In Tamil, in the Philippines, say grabe. Grabe talaga. You know, this mentality of ours, you know, that we change our slogans and our life is different. I kept the slogan of life is to live, not to exist for a very long time. I started off at the age of 25. I had the slogan and I kept it even until today. I still have that slogan, but I don't follow that slogan. But I said, life is to live in Christ. Life is to live in Christ. Death is to live in Christ. Amen. Life is to live in Christ. Death is to live in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Changed it a little bit. But today I want to ask you, what's your slogan? What's the catchword you have? What's the catchword will keep you in track of your life? Sometimes you've got a radar. The radar has got to show where it's like. Unless you place the radar somewhere, then you'll know your directions. Right? Is that right? So you have to have your directions. Every time we go somewhere, we have to pull back. A catchword will bring you back. Why do I have these two words? Because I didn't know. I think I told you all, he who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror. Actually, it came from the Bible. They just converted it differently and said otherwise. Right? He who conquers the city is not the greatest conqueror. He who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror, says the Proverbs. Right? So it's not a city that you've got to conquer, but you conquer yourself and you'll be all right. So that slogan I kept it always because whatever things that I want to keep away from, I want to conquer it. You know, in the worldly way, in the way mental attitude way, the way the attitude I want to change was the way it was olden ways. That is the worldly ways I want to change. Conquer the things that you have. You've got a habit, you try to conquer it the way the world wants to conquer by repeating all kind of nonsenses. But today, you are in Christ. The catchword Christ has given to us today, when you read the whole passage there, he's talked about so many things. Lord, he's got a order, a marching order for all of us. What is the marching order for every one of them in the army? Somebody sits here who's from uniform. They will know. Left, right. Is that right? So if you go misaligned, your left is not going left. You put your right, suddenly you change. Right? Left, right. Is that a word? Is that a word for marching? That's a catchword. Is that right? They ask you to fall in line and after that, turn, left, right. March forward. So march forward and you'll say left, right. You repeat that so that you know it's in rhythm with every one of them. Is that right? So we have to get in rhythm with Christ Jesus. We have to get rhythm in our life, in our walk daily, in our Christ. That's a checking word. Checking word that checks you. A word which is actually a catchword. A word that is watchword, watching you all the time. Of all the passages, there's only one small sentence which says that catchword. The word today, the catchword for Jesus Christ is, arise, let us go from here. 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 Amen. Praise God. He's talking about arise. Don't sit around. Arise and let's go from here. You cannot sit in the same place. Move on. Amen. That's his catchword. If you read the word of God and you see this whole passage, I ask you to read, because you will find Jesus was a very busy man. Was Jesus a very busy man? Man of God? Was Jesus very busy? If you read chapter 14, you'll understand he talks about so many things. Right? He calls himself to be doing so many things. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. And he says, I will pray, I will say things. And all those things he's promised to give you. I'll go before you. Everything he's doing. He's in action. Jesus is a master in watchword. Whatever he says, he surely does it. And he keeps it right. And this time, if we want to see what actually in John chapter 14 he's talking about, he talks about the things that is going to come to pass in life. He did not sit where he was sitting. He was teaching and preaching, and he was doing miracles and signs and wonders. He gave promises to all of us, but he did not sit where he was sitting. He was busy doing the things of God. Amen. Is that right? What kept him going? He says, arise, let's go from here. The old King James Version says, arise, let's go henceforth. So we have to arise and go forth. In our life, I just want to see what Jesus has done. You see, Jesus, he expressed his desire to obey the Father by just doing the things God wants him to do. That he has to fulfill what he has to do. Even knowing that he's having a suffering, he's got to go through a suffering, he's got to go through blood, sweat. He knows everything. He can see it very visually. He can visualize what's going to happen to him. He can visualize even Peter denying to him. Oh, he's Jesus there, the crowd is here. How does Jesus know that Peter is going to deny him? Can you just imagine for a while? Jesus was not present when Peter denied. He knows everything. He could see vision. He can see who is going to say, who is going to be in front of him, who is going to ask whose question, who is going to slap him. He knows. He knows he'll have got to go through a time after this supper. He's going to go through a time of in Mount of Olives. He's going to go through a pressure time. A time that is going to press him. Press him until not only the pressing is so great that not only sweat came out, but blood came out from his sweat. He knows. But he still obeyed. He didn't sit around and see, ponder, hello, how do I do it? If I do engineering wise, I think if the weight of the cross is this much, if I carry this way, it will be this side, so lesser weight. If I carry this side, it will be heavier. So he is manipulating to see how he can lessen the burden of his life. Was he? He was trying to see, Jesus was trying to see, this guy is going to slap me. When he slaps me, I'm going to turn my cheek like that, so the slap will not fall on my face. Or the guy who's going to crown me with thorns. Now I would not be. So when he's going to crown, I'll move like that. So that the crown will go down. When I'm about to slip and fall, I will see whether who can hammer, could hold on. Because he can see everybody who's standing there. Can you? Can you understand what I'm saying? He didn't manipulate and think and engineer the way how he's going to go through the way he wants to do it. He just obeyed. If he did not obey to go forth, he will not fulfill what we are enjoying today. Amen? So knowing in life, in a journey, you must know and move on from one place to another place. If you don't move on, then you can't achieve what God is giving to you in life. You have to move on. Though there is life is suffering, there are a lot of things. They said, no, there are so many divorces, I don't want to get married. Somebody told me the other day, no? Pastor, don't talk to me about marriage. All men are very difficult to understand. They are horrible. See, so many divorces. Practically, she put her hand like that, you know. So, very difficult. How many times were you in love and you fell down? Only once. You never gave another man a chance. No. All men, same. No marriage, Pastor. No, I don't believe in marriage now. See, the number of people getting married. If you have got that kind of belief, surely you'll go into a damage. You'll crash on and damage yourself. See, the attitude before even starting, you already perceived what it's going to be like. Whatever may come, I'll sail through. That is the best way. Is that right? Right? So Jesus has got this. When I talked about this, no, Pastor, please next time don't talk to me about marriage. Bless her. Amen. So she's stopping a procreation of God's one more soul into this world. Or maybe five, I don't know. Five more Christians in this world stopped by somebody because they are fear of man. I don't know how many of you fear of ladies here. No one, huh? I'm happy. Oh, I see. That also got privacy one. Second thing you'll find, that Jesus was ready to meet whatever consequences is going to come through. Right? Not saying, oh, hi, I see that this already. I'm not going to go and get married because, you know why, I've got this problem. I'm not going to have a children because my beauty will be changed. Right? So, no. I'm just giving an example, okay? And the man says, I don't want to have any more children. No, what is this? I have to take care of my wife alone is so difficult. You know, the money is not enough. Another child? No. All these thoughts. So you have not gone. He knows the consequences that's going to come. He's going to see. And God Jesus did that, number one. Knowing the consequences went forth. Secondly, he knows he's going to meet his arch rival. Who's his arch rival? Satan. The fallen angel. He's going to meet Lucifer face to face. He got his face off. So Jesus also had a face off with Lucifer. Jesus has to meet him straight on his eyes and tell him, you are a loser. Amen? He has got to meet his right arch rival. So some of us are afraid about the things in our life that we don't want to go on forth. How many of us are afraid in our life that we don't want to go forth? Are you a pastor? No, this way I cannot take. I was injured last time. I don't want to get injuries somehow. Jesus knew what he was doing. And he knew even the arch rival, who is the person who is going to come before him. He's got to meet him in death. He's got to meet him in death. Jesus knows he's got to die. He's got to meet him. And the meeting is not a meeting. Just an ordinary meeting. Just like in Psalm 23, he says, he set a table before my enemies. It was for Christ that he set the table before his enemy. His arch rival. He has got to meet him. Unless there was a meeting of this face to face, there was no blessing. What does Psalm 23 say, though? After meeting, after he is set, you anoint me with my head with oil. My cup runs over. Unless you meet that arch rival, your cup cannot run over. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello? Hello? You see, unless we meet somebody and we avoid the person, God has placed that you have to meet this person. Unless you meet this person, I will not be able to make you a better person. Unless you meet your husband, unless you meet your wife, I cannot make a better person out of you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Unless you meet that person, how naughty, how bad, how cruel, doesn't matter. But I've got to meet this person face off so that I can be a better person in my life. Amen? So you see the arch rival. What is your arch rival in your life? Is your arch rival cowardism? Is your arch rival in your life is fear? Is your arch rival not able to face through truth? Is your arch rival is something that in your life that you have gone through in your life, you have been beaten, been battered, we've been injured, we've been really bandaged everywhere, you're still nursing your injury, you don't want to see another rival? The arch rival in your life, ponder for a while and see what you have to meet. Unless you meet, you can't see the success. Amen? So Jesus cannot just sit down there and wait. He has got to arise and go from there to the next meeting of his. Do you follow what I'm saying? He says that. Even he says in verse 13, I like this very much. I no longer talk to you much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. He knows that he can't hold him. See, we are in lack of knowledge of ourselves. We don't know yourself. We don't know ourselves. That is the problem. That is why we don't know how to face these problems, my friend. Do you know the greater things inside you? And he knows, Jesus knows that he has nothing against me. The ruler, the prince of the world is coming. The ruler of this world is coming. He's coming very soon to take away my life. I'm going to face him. But I know he's got nothing in me. If we are clear in our conscience, you're clear in our mind, your purpose is right, your goal is right in life, and you meet somebody with right attitude and right mind, surely you will not have fear. You'll be able to meet that arch rival of yours. Amen? Praise the Lord. The third thing Jesus did was, he practiced activity. He liked to do action-oriented man. He is not a man of just preaching. He talked less. He worked more. Many of us say, no, Jesus taught us a lot of things. I tell you, the activities of teaching is lesser than his action. Why? He says it very clearly here. Verse 30. I will no longer talk with you much with you, for the ruler is coming. He's not a man who's going to sit down. The ruler is coming. I'm going to see what he's going to ask question. I must out to answer him back. If he comes and beats me up, what shall I do? Why shall I should punch from the left or right, or even give him a jab from the top or bottom? I don't know what. He didn't say that. He says he has nothing against him, but he says, I don't talk anymore. I talk less, but I work more. Hello? I like the one, like last week, Brother Ang said something. People like to serve God, but only as advisor. They like to serve God as advisor. God, you know what you must do? This is what you must do, you know? God, you know what? You must come and bless me, you know? You know, if you bless me, I'll do this. You know, God, you know what? This man, I like this. Oh, Pastor, you know what? This church has got to be like this, like this, like this. Advisors. But Jesus was not advisor. Jesus was a worker. Action-oriented man. A man who worked. You ask me personally, you see, from the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, he says, I go prepare a place for you, verse 2. And then after this, I will come again. Action. I will come again. I go, prepare, and I come again. Verse 3. Verse 4. I go. You know where I go. And they said, I don't know where you go. Because the apostles were still dull. Right? And he says, I will go and come. I will do. I do not speak in my own authority, but I speak in the authority of my Father. Right? He says, I say to you, very less of say, I will do. Verse 13, I will do what you ask of my Father. I will do whatever you ask of me. Verse 14. Right? Verse 16, I will pray to the Father. He will even pray for us. Not only he'll pray to the Father that he'll send a comforter to us. So he's an action-oriented person. The whole chapter 14, he's more action-oriented than speaking. Right? And he says again, I have to go now. I have to leave you now. Peace I leave with you. I give you unto you. Peace. He's an action-oriented person. So he doesn't say, he says, I talk less, but I do more. How many of us talk more and do less? I think the pastor is standing here. He's talking too much. Week after week, he's talking too much. All right? So this person must go. So must do more action. So more go out and evangelize. So you pray next week onwards, I'll go out and evangelize here. I'll go to shop. Okay, I'll ask every one of them whether they know Christ or not. So action-oriented. So less speaking, more action. That's what is needed in the church. Church needs people who are action-oriented. People who can go out and testify, who can go out and say, proclaim the word, as we said just now. As long as we come as the second coming of Christ before we come, he needs action. Proclaim. Proclamation needs action. Action. Hello? Proclamation is without action. You stand there? There's no proclaiming. Action oriented. You speak to the people of what God has done of you. Praise God. Wonderful. Is that right? So he says, I am action oriented. He prefers action rather than being talking all the time. Alright? He prefers action than all the religious rites. The Pharisees at the time had all the religious, they kept all the religious rites, they must do this, their rituals and all those things. But he was not interested in all that. He was interested in the people, the action the Father has given to him to do. Amen. See, that's what he has to do. He's not bothered, he's not even distracted by all the actions of the Pharisees and everyone around them. He prefers. We can give the best sweet talk in the world. You know, we talk sweetly. Have you seen a lot of Christians who are matured Christians? They're sweet talkers. They'll talk sweetly, but no action one. They leave the action to somebody else. But Jesus, he didn't believe in sweet talking. Everywhere he went, he talked right, the truth. And the truth became part of him. And he is the truth. And every one of them who followed him knew the truth, and he spoke the truth, not sweet talks. Jesus never said any sweet talks here. If you take the four Gospels and see, there's no sweet talks. He tells the truth. He reveals the truth. Some of them are not happy with it. Some of them followed him. He reveals the truth. Amen? Praise God. So the motto that Jesus Christ had, arise, let us go from here. Unless you arise and go out from there, only then you can do the things that you have to do in your life. The purpose. Some of us, somebody told me the other day, was a good thing that said something to me. Say, if your son, I said, my son is looking for a job. No, I said, yeah, he's in a banking. He must move on to another bank so that he can grow faster. Unless he moves on, unless he goes away from this place to another place, only then he gets better and better and better. That doesn't mean say he must move on from church to church. No, I see that it's a hobby now. It's no longer a practice. It's become a hobby. Right? So church, that's not what God wants. We assemble as a... Hello? We are saints, fellow saints of God's household. We are members of the... Still not getting it right. We are fellow citizens of the saints of God. Number two. We assemble as members of the household of God. Number three. Why do we assemble? Hello? We have to repeat this again. Unless you know what's your motto, what's your slang, what is that you have got in your heart, God has put in us, God has taught us, we do not go where? We don't know what to do. You come to church, listen to the pastor, blah, 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 after I go away. Right? That's not it. We come here for what? To establish one another. To establish somebody is going away in their path. They need some help. You have established them back into the path. Number two, equip the person. Number two, to encourage them. Encourage them in the faith. Ayo, my things are not working in my life, blah, this, blah, this, everything. No, have faith. Faith will work, So we have encouraged them in the faith. Right? So we encourage them in faith. The third thing what we do is to equip people. Because some of them are lacking some things. So we equip them in the Word of God. And also equip them the necessary things that we need. And then we have to go out to evangelize. We cannot be sitting down here and evangelizing to each other. How many of you evangelize to each other every day? You know what, sister? Yesterday, the Lord did this to me. No, oh, no. If you only say that to somebody else, you know what? Yesterday, I had this problem. My God spoke to me very clearly. No, do this. And I did it. I was okay. Who's your God? Jesus Christ. We testify in church, yes. But how are we testifying outside? That's the problem why the churches are not growing. You ask me personally in the nation of Malaysia, I chat with somebody yesterday also from NECF was here. The most number of people in this nation, the growth rate of Christians is very less. The growth rate, hear me out very clearly, the growth rate of Christians in this nation is very less. You know why? There is this church hopping problem, which become a habit. So you don't know how to see a church really grows. whether members are coming in because of evangelism. They are growing because of why? From another church come here, this church come here. Hey, brother, you know, I'm in this church, you know, you must come to this church, you know. If you have come here for a problem to be solved, solve the problem. If this church can give, provide for you, go on with others. So let's now, from this on, this now on, let's not worry about what happened in the past. Now on, let us have the mindset what God is calling us to do. Amen? God is calling us to establish people. So that God is going to establish us first. So He's established you here. God is going to establish to move forward, to establish others, to equip others, to encourage others in this place so that we can go out and come. Some of us are beaten up, you know. When you go out there, somebody says something wrong with you, and you talk about Jesus Christ, somebody says something wrong, you are beaten up, you are demoralized sometimes. Sometimes you are discouraged. You come here, get lifted up, and go back again to the world. We are a place here to gather together to give you all that petrol you need. Alright? Don't have to pay for the petrol. Free of charge. You turn to your neighbor and say, you are my petrol station. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are my petrol station. I'm going to come to you. You better give me the fuel to go out. Don't charge me, huh? It's free. God says free. Freely I give, freely you receive. Right? Okay, praise God. You can buy lunches once in a while, no problem. Huh? If you feel like giving, love. All right? So God has got purpose. Jesus had His purpose. He's looked at what He wanted to go and He went on with it. Alright? Let's look at our motto, our personal motto. What is our motto? What is our catchword in our life? Arise, let's move on from this place. Why do you have to move on place? People who sit in the same place, what happens? If I were to sit every day, eat and as already somebody complained to me, my stomach is already protruding too much. Not one, two, a few of them already. I said, please don't feed me. They said, no, I still must give you food. So I have no choice but to eat. So don't blame me, huh? Blame the people who are giving me food, huh? So we go out to so what we do is if I sit down there all the time, I'll become a potato. You'll not recognize me. Somebody came and saw me the other day and says, I went for prayer to pray for somebody in Malacca. Together with a group of us friends. And that man said, no, you know, I think I know you, you know. You were slimmer last time. You put on some weight now. It was slapped to me, you know. And the brothers all looked at me, see, Pastor, you're right, you know. See, you're really growing too fat. Right? So, if I were to sit one place and eat and sit down all day, I don't go, and I sleep there, I will become a potato. So would you be. Right? So you have to move on. I have to get out my chair and move on to go into the toilet at least. To go out somewhere. Consume so much, you keep it all the time. That's why you're growing like a potato. So you have to move somewhere. So you have to move. Unless you move, you cannot find the toilet. Unless you move, you cannot find the streets. Unless you move, you cannot find the lift. You can't find the staircase. Unless we move. So we have to move from the place. Number one, you become stale in the place. The air that is around you will contaminate you. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? If you're sitting in a place all the time, you know why? It'll contaminate you. If it becomes, you're not moving, if the water is not moving, it becomes bitter. Right? It becomes really bitter. No wonder the salt lake, you know, the salt in the lake, it's really the Dead Sea doesn't have any movement of water that side to side, you know. It stops there. It's so salty. Right? So bitter. Now, what are we supposed to do in our life? Number one, we have to move on. And you look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 says this very clear. When the people of God was standing at this place, in front of them there's a sea. And behind them is the Pharaoh's army coming after them with chariots and everything, horses. With all those, that time was all the spears or whatever they had at the time. The cannonballs and all those things. But today, if you are standing there, it will be the latest machine gun. Libya, I see they're having machine guns, bombs, and then, entire aircraft. All those things will be there. Can you just imagine a group of people standing in front of the sea, don't know how to cross, with children, with their livestock, with the things they carry, not only livestock, the materials they carry, the food they carry, they're all stuck there. And they're facing the sea. They've got nowhere else to go. If they jump into the sea, they will die. And God, Moses cried out. Moses, the verse says, verse one verse before that says, he cried to God. He really practically cried to God. And the verse says this. Let's turn to the verse. Are you there? Anyone there? Go. You got that? Exodus? Chapter 14, verse 15. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Anyone there? Can you just read out from where you are? Amen. If it is your own Bible, if it's not church Bible, don't touch, okay? If it's your own Bible, underline, go forward. They underline everywhere and go up. I open up the Bible today, I see some lines here everywhere else. Across this way, that way, all, okay? That's church Bible. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the church. It belongs to you and I and every one of us, okay? Praise God. It's a property of God. So take care of it. If it's your own Bible, it says, you see, the Lord looked at him and crying. Most of the time in our life, before we move forward, we tend to cry and cry out and say, Lord, I do not know anything to do. I don't know what to do. If literally, this man of God, this man whom God has brought him, he has now done so much of miracles in Pharaoh's place. Now he's coming out and he's in the way now, in the journey. In the journey, he's stuck. In the journey, he's stuck. He's already out of Pharaoh's place. Right? He's out of the palace. He's out of that territory. Now he's now stuck in his journey. We in our life, when we are stuck in our journey, the only thing when we cry to God, he will tell us to go forward. He will not tell us any other question, any other things. Say, go forward. Do you know why he'll tell you to go forward? Tell me why. He'll tell you to go forward because his strength is with you. Amen. Say amen. His strength is with you. And Jesus said, I pray to the Father for the Spirit, the Comforter will be with you. Do you believe that the Comforter is with you? When the Holy Spirit is with you, why are you worried? So God will tell you again, if you cry now and cry, he'll tell you, go forward. Don't worry about the water. Don't worry about the lost path that you are now in. Go forward. When we go forward, then only we can meet the miracles. Only when they start going forward in front of the water, the miracles happened. Amen. Instantaneous miracles. Do you know why? Because God is a God of miracles. God is a God of things that he thinks impossible in man's mind he can do. Unless they forward, unless Moses put out his rod, go forward. He didn't put out backwards. Did he put backwards? Does the word say backwards? The word says forward. When he struck forward, he went forth. Immediately the sea rolled over both sides. And immediately God dried the land. Hello? If you want to cross a land, sea, a river, you have to be not wet any longer. It's muddy. When you're muddy, you'll be stuck in the mud and you can't move forward. If it is sandy, you'll be going around sandy, and by the time you carry your next leg up to put the next foot down, you already got one arrow behind your head. Can you just imagine? God was powerful. A miracle happened only when there was a faith in moving forward. Amen? How many of us are stuck in our lives somewhere or other? Don't have to put up your hands. I always put up my hands. It's okay. All right? How many of us are stuck in our life in somewhere or other? And I know, if you move forward without fear, God will accomplish it for you. God will accomplish for you. It's not you who accomplish it, but God will accomplish you. Remember this verse. Not by M. Might. Not by P. Power. But by what? Oh, praise the Lord. Good people. But I only heard some of them saying it. Can you all say it again? Not by might. Not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You surely will accomplish it. You surely will accomplish it. In our journey, in our motto, when we have this motto saying that, arise, let's go from this place. Arise, let me go, let us go. You are going with people. You might be going alone, but you bear in mind, every time in your journey, you're not alone. In your journey, number one, to understand you're not alone. How many of you were there at church camp? How many of you know that you are not alone? All of you know that you're not alone because you're not supposed to be alone. That is why God found Adam so lonely. He says, I'll give you a companion. You're not supposed to be alone. If you think you're lonely, you've got to ask yourself, where did I go wrong? Don't you have your parents? Don't you have your brothers, sisters? Don't you have people in your church where they come and be with you? Don't you have these fellow saints with you? Members of the household of God. You're never alone. You're never alone when the Spirit of God is with you. Amen? Praise God. So what you can do is, you and I can do is today to understand that we cannot just sit down but move forward. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Amen. God gave us the grace. First of all, we understand we came out from, with the grace of God, we came from where we were before. Those of us who are born again, somewhere in between, you understand what I say more. If you are born again, born, it's quite difficult, you understand. Because why? You have not seen the other side of the world. Those of us who have seen the world of outside, you understand what I'm saying. Even those of you who are born as a Christian, you also understand. You'll see things happening around you. You see things happening around you. So God, by His grace, took you out from where you were in the darkness and brought you to light. And because you are sitting in grace, because the grace has helped you, are you going to sit around and say, "Ha, I'm helped by grace. It's okay with me." Is that what we want? Are we sitting in grace all the time? No. Because we are there, we have to move forward. You are separated from that people of God, from the people of the world. You are separated from the people of the world because of Jesus Christ, what He has done. He met His arch rival face to face in death. Amen? He has brought us out. So we cannot be just saying, I'm already safe, never mind, now I come to church once a week. Or sometimes nowadays, that's not necessary. They said that some pastors say, no, don't need to go into church. Why you need church? You can do directly at home. You can meditate at home. You start meditating at home and see what happens. When the weakest time, Satan will start coming to you. He tempts even pastors, you know. Even my meditation, sometimes the fellow will come. Right? To give you deceptive things in our life. So when you start believing, then you go away from the truth of the Word of God. Assembly of God is people is important. Assembly of the people of God is important. So when you come, you don't sit by grace. I'm safe today, my job now. Since I'm safe already, I'm happy. I come sit down. Then chair seems to be nice here in this amazing grace, you know. Little bit of cushion, very nice, you know. It's not so hard. It's not, okay, I can sit here for 2 hours, no problem. Air condition nice, Oh, nice lighting, you know. Don't know what, home-like lighting, you know, very nice, comfortable. It's not a comfort zone, you're sitting here because of grace. Grace is given to you. Much grace must be abound in you to others. Amen. Much grace must abound through you to others. Number two. Out of forbidden association is taken out. See, the problem with all of us is sometimes we talked about last time prison break. Some of them still not coming out from their problems in their prisons. Right? And so we talked about why we gather here after that. We had a series. Now we are talking about why we have to break away. Forbidden things. God has forbidden us from the thing. When we are out from there, we should not go back to the place again. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. In Genesis chapter 19, you'll find the story of Lot, of the action of what happened to Lot and his family. You'll find in verse 17 that, you know, when God told him to get out of the place in Sodom, because he knows Sodom is a place which is not right, Sodom is a place where he was associated with, though he was not sinful, he was associated with the people of Sodom. And because he was part of Sodom, although he was not part of their activities, alright? But God says he wanted to save him. When God says, I want to save you, I want to pull you out, when God tells you to go out from there, run for your life. We don't go back to the place where we have been before. I've said it before. I've counseled people who run to prostitutes. I've counseled people who run to pornography. They didn't listen. It was 2 years, 3 years ago. But now they just let go of everything. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Now it has come to a place where it's so hurting in the family, you cannot get out of it. It breaks the family. It broke the family. Why? Because when you are part of it, you must get out of it. You have nothing to do with that. Don't you know our body is the temple of God? Why do you associate yourself with this? Don't you know you are, what have you got to do with the people who are not believers? Of the things they do. Don't you know? Paul is very right in asking some of the things. Because he knows he was from the world. Right? So he is able to understand and write. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't just we know that we are, once we are already out from there, we have to disassociate from that. If a pub is of my falling place where I walk around, if I'm drunk, next time I will not see a pub. I'll go away from that place. Right? If that is the favorite place, go away from the place. If this is the place, this person is the one who's causing me to sin. Go away. What have you got to do? Disassociate. Come out. You have to do that. We can preach about prison break and you still don't accept it and break away from the things. You have to do it. God is speaking to you today very clearly. What's your motto? What's your catch? Arise! Run away from here. Get out of this place. Arise! Let's get out of this place. Let's go out of this place. Arise! Unless you arise and get out of this association with this people or those sinful things, you cannot become righteous. We are doing a series of message on fasting and prayer. It was good. Even I learned some things the other day as God was speaking. And the Spirit of God just touched and was speaking. And God taught me something that day also about fasting and also prayer. It's good. Why? Because God wants one thing. Why was fasting initiated? What was fasting for? God initiated fasting in the Day of Atonement. Leviticus will find that. Because I've chosen you, I am holy, so shall you be holy. Amen. Amen. Fasting was to draw closer to Him, to get His holiness into us. Prayer is necessary because we have to get His prayer. We have to communicate with Him back. Right? If you didn't come, get the notes from those who came the other day. God has got a purpose in our life. God says, I want to take you out from this place. That is why the assembly of people is important in our life. Assembly to understand people and keep secrecy is important. Hello? The church is not a place for gossiping. Assembling is a place where you can still to build the people, not to break the people. Because when we do that, we are answerable to God. Not to the people around. We are answerable to God. Because He assembles people together. Let's not break it together. That's right. So God says, if you have got that kind of things, forbid yourself. Get out of the things. Whatever has been there and drenched with you last time, get out of it. Run from your life. Run for your life. Unless you run for your life. Like Sodom was, and when Lot was asked to run for your life, you will not be saved. You've already been saved now, but you still want to go back. And because his wife turned back, look at what is happening there, How nice was the city? Oh, yo, I'm going to miss it, la. You know my neighbor or not? I was every day gossiping when Lord was outside. He was working. I was, you know, in Tagalog, they call it chismis. In Tamil, it says, you know, they'll always go and talk behind. Or they'll have find a way to sit down and to talk about things in the world. And you'll find that in the coffee shops nowadays. The mothers, some of them go out. You can see the coffee shops, the corner coffee shops. Early morning, you'll see they go to buy all the provisions, the marketing. They'll come on there, on group of them. You go about 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you'll find them in the morning. You go and have breakfast. To go to a place where there's a marketplace, you'll understand. And they will talk everything else in the world except for themselves. So Lord's wife was like that. Maybe she was buying the every day and talking about, oh, yo, that man, oh, yo, this man. Okay, they were talking about the Sodom and Gomorrah sins every day probably. So she was looking at behind and see what happened. She became a salt, a pillar of salt. Do you understand? Let's not put our sight back again to what we have come up from. Let's not put our sight, which will pull us. It pulls us. So you've got to run for your life. When you run for your life, you don't look at what is behind. You just run. You just run. And the focus should be, today morning we said, put your face right up to Jesus and run. He's just waiting with his arm stretched. Run, run, child, run. I'm with you. Come, you can make it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we have to escape from the things that we've been all the time been snagged into. We have to come out of the present attainments of the growing in grace. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Are you there, any one of you? If you are there, just shout out so you can read it for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It's important that, you know, you do not sit down there at all the times and attain the growing, because we cannot sit in the laurels of the glory that we have been growing. Because I've been growing in the Word of God, I can be sitting down and learning one pastor after another pastor after another pastor. I've been listening to all the messages, but I'm not moving. Right? I've got grace. Now the grace is abounding in you, and now you are sitting down, you're living in the grace. What do? You receive from God, everyone. Man of God, come and give it to you. Woman of God, come and give it to you. You receive, receive, receive. And now you're going to become a potato in the spiritual realm. Potato in the spiritual realm cannot move, you know. So difficult to move. Because you receive so much because you've not given out. When you receive, you must give out. You must receive, give out in the supernatural world also same. If you receive all the time, you don't go to the toilet, you also gloat. Same way, when you receive so much from the spiritual realm, you don't go out, you become bunkers. You know what happened? I've seen people who will talk everything else about the Bible. They know the Bible by heart. They know the scripture by heart. They know everything else by heart. I know this pastor said like this. No, the prophecy is like this, like this, like this. You know what, pastor? You know, you don't understand, you know. You know this prophecy, the prophet who came down and said, yesterday also I had this evening, you know. Yesterday, 6 o'clock, I had this one person here. You know, you don't understand, pastor. I think you didn't go for the prophetic mission. You don't know what's happening in the world, you know. Pastor, you know what? This is what he said. No, you don't understand. You know so much. But he don't know what is right and what is wrong. What to take and what to give. He does not know. What's the use having so much when you don't use it? It's wasted. It's really wasted. Are we talking to somebody? At least to your maid. Or at least to the neighbor's maid. If the neighbor is showing sour face, never mind. Make friends with the maid. At least to the garbage collector. If the neighbor is saying something wrong with you. We have to do something. We have to do something. We have to reach out. I waited. I told you all. I went to a new place already now. All my neighbors, they don't open doors. No. They're scared to see who's the man in the next door. He comes late night, he goes this time, and he carries bags. He carries one thing, one bag, black bag every time. I don't know what is he carrying, maybe ammunition. I see my neighbors all, I see all the Chinese, you know, characters there, you know, so all of them are not Christians yet. Among them, all of them, last few days ago when I came to church, I got up about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning. Praise the Lord. First time I met my neighbor. Opposite neighbor, door to door. Open this one, come out and see. I see the only way to make friend is to make friend with the boy. The small boy. Hello, you're very happy today morning, huh? Your mommy took you out for dinner, breakfast this morning, huh? Oh, you went jalan-jalan, huh? And that lady, I thought it's Chinese, she talked back to me in Malay. Oh, I said, wonderful, Lord. You see, today you opened the door for me, Lord. All right? So they'll be wondering what I'm doing with this small little bag. They don't know this Bible is inside that bag. It goes with me. So today, the next time, they will ask me, surely the boy will ask me, Uncle, what is that you're holding in the van? And this is the word of God. Open doors already. Open doors. I'm waiting for the next opportunity. Now I know they come out only at 9 o'clock. So I'll wait for 9 o'clock. So if your pastor is late in the church for 9 o'clock, so excuse, I'm going to see my neighbor. I've determined to see my neighbor. Right? Surely, one day, the seed planted today will grow to become a tree because some of you will be watering it. And I can take the glory for it because, you know why? I'm just one of those people with you. When somebody comes to the kingdom of God, the glory does not go to man, but goes to God because he uses many of them so that that person can grow. Hello? So when we have this kind of attitude that, no, this person is mine, you will never let go. You've got a spirit of Absalom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jezebel is also same. So we have to understand, we cannot have this mind. So here he says that you cannot sit down here, go and speak to them. Release the word. Doesn't matter about them getting saved immediately. Don't worry about that. That is the problem of God. Whose problem is that? God's problem. Because I can speak, Lord, but if your power does not go with me, how can I do it? God, I can speak. It will be empty if your spirit is not with me. God, I can speak, Lord, but if you are not going to touch the heart, nothing can happen. Just talk what you have to talk. Do not sit in grace. Do not just receive. Testify in church. Testify outside of church. Testify what you do outside in the church. Amen. It's no more by healing here, healing there. My backboard, okay, my back also went straight ready. It's not about that. It's the glory should go to the people outside who do not know. We know our God who does the work. Amen. Glory to God. We know our God, he works miracles. There are people outside who do not know who he works miracles. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello? Are you so engrossed? You and I know what our God can do. How many of you do not know what our God can do? How many of you here do not know what our God can do? Somehow or other in your life and my life, God has performed a miracle. God has done the impossible thing which man cannot do. Think back. Write it down. Engrave it in your heart. Engrave it in your mind. That's what you need to engrave. The testimony of God that is done in your life, that will grow for that. Amen? Glory to God. So we are supposed to become not sitting down and receiving. I have by grace, I'm saved already. I must receive. No. The word of God says, you must know. You must receive. Must know the word of God so much. I ask them some of the word they know by, like a parrot, which I myself don't know. But do you understand what you read? Ah, no. I will find out about that next time. That's not what we want. Amen? Number four. You must grow out of yourself, rejoicing yourself. Many times we rejoice in the past actions we have done. We are rejoicing because, because I brought somebody to church. Oh, because I've already testified. God, we rejoice in the past. Let's rejoice in the new things God is going to do for us. Because Paul says, behold, I do not rejoice. He says, he does not look at the thing of the past. He looks at the things of the future. Let's read it again. Philippians. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things. What things? Forgetting those things, he's been laureling. He's been doing a lot of work. Forget all those things first. All the good things you've done. Many of us remember, you know what? I did this good thing to this person. Well, you've done well and good. The reward is in heaven. You receive the reward here, then your reward is not there. Where do you want the reward to be? In heaven. So we, when we say that, Lord, we have done this to you, you are sitting on the personal laurels. I've done this to person. I've done to that person. You have not let go yet. We have to let go. Lord, you asked me to bless. Bless. Gone. If they are here, they are here. If they are not here, go. It's okay. Tomorrow you gave somebody else something. God is also blessing you. Isn't that right? So don't hold on to the blessings that you hold and say, you know what, I've done all these things too. Please, remove that as a Christian. We are called to bless without recounting of the blessings you've given. Amen? So we are supposed to receive. We don't sit down in laurels and say, yes, I received. That's the fourth one I'm talking about. The fifth one. When there is allows, the Lord allows you to suffer. If there is, in your journey, there is suffering. Do not fret. Do not be afraid. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says very clearly, my grace is sufficient enough for you. My grace is sufficient enough for you. If you have been saved by grace, if you have been now living in grace, surely His grace will be sufficient enough to go through in your life. Amen? But don't take grace for granted. Don't take the Father's love for granted. Don't abuse the Father's love. Amen? So surely He will give you enough power to journey together until the end. So the end is coming somewhere in our life. And when we know the end is going to come, we know we can go together. The sixth one I'm going to talk about is, when the time comes when God calls you home, we can go home freely without any burden, without fear. Because we know we didn't hold anything. Jesus said, the Satan is coming. Verse 30, John 14, He says it very clearly. The prince of the world is coming. He found nothing in me. He found nothing in me, Jesus says. So do we. When we see God, when we want to see God, the sixth one is for us to see God. When God calls you home, we will go bravely. 2 Timothy 4:6. Do you have it there with you? That's the last point I'm going to give you. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says he's been poured out as a drink offering. He's empty now. He has got to be poured out as a drink offering. If you still keep your vessel full, then you have not gone. So God, when you go and see God, your vessel is still full. I'm supposed to empty my vessel unto the people. I'm supposed to be a drink for every one of them. Jesus himself gave the cup to us and said, Lord, this is the cup, a new covenant I give you. Why can't we pour out ourselves to others as a drink? We can receive so much. We can go and sit in so many seminars, so many churches we go, but we don't pour out to others. We have nothing. We contain. The vessel is too big. The vessel is bloating. And then Jesus sees it. You have received, but you have never given. So Jesus, when we are going, when the Lord calls us home, in Timothy, as he says very clearly, when we go home, he does not worry about that. He was already poured out as a drink to every one of them. So let's pour out ourselves. We're not receiving in church, not receiving from them. You have a mind of your own. You have a spirit that God has given to your heart. You've got a life that is no straight. Look at God, not look at people, but pour yourself out to God, to the people, sorry. Look at God. Arise from where you are now and go forth from this place now. If you don't arise and go from this place, you will not meet the miracles that you've got in your life. You will not be able to edify the things that you have got in your life and my life. If I don't move, go off. If I don't sit, and every 4 weeks, I'm preaching all the time. I'm not moving forward because the church is not building people. And I pray a time will come, 2 weeks, somebody will preach here from the church, not from outside. And I'll preach 2 weeks. And I pray that will happen. It's not because that we want to create something or I want to escape from this. No. But so that people will be built. So they can pour out the portion that God has given into your life that you can pour out. Very soon, the next month onwards, you will see one more column. I'm bringing back this into this church again. You will see the duty roster there. You've got one column missing because one brother came and said, Pastor, I will take care of everything else. Not Brother Anger, before this. So he said, I'll take care of this ushering, you know, when people come in, the welcoming session, I'll do it. I gave it after he left, already nobody here. So I have to just simply ask our friend to do it for me. It's supposed to be everybody's job. Hello? How are you going to pour out to people when you don't shake hands with people and smile at people? It's easy to tell somebody else. But can you do it? Ask yourself today. I'm very radical about this today. God told me, don't fear man. I'm not going to fear any man. If I say something, if it hurts you, edify. If I say something that you're going to leave, it's okay with me. Because God has got to be straight in this place. And you are the people. If you come here looking for the pastor only, I think you've got a wrong place. We have to look for Jesus Christ here. It's Jesus Christ is here. His power is here. His love is here. His compassion is here. His comfort is here. You might not realize what I'm doing. A few of them know what I'm doing. A few of them who walk with me in my life know what I'm doing. Many marriages are being set. They don't come from this church, from any other church. One thing we tell them, go back to your church. I praise God. Last 2 days, the couple came back yesterday. First time I'm seeing the wife who's come back. And there was a lot of harmony. One more family put together. Another person being healed. It's not because of James. It's not because of pastor. It's because of Jesus Christ. His name is exalted. It's because he wants to work in you. Are you willing to allow yourself to be worked in? Worked through? Are you a vessel you want to be worked through? Or are you a vessel just receiving for selfish purposes? That I'm smarter than another person. I'm wholly a doubt. Let's look at ourselves very clearly. Unless we go through this today, I hope you take this message home and read yourself out. There's no condemnation here. It's to build, to edify. So we can work together, move forward for the next season. So next season I will be speaking about one more faith. After the faith, I'm going to start a series, looking up into heaven and walking on earth. Looking into heaven and walking on earth. It's a series which I'll talk about, 6 messages which I prepared yesterday. I pray God will bless us. God will give us. We will not be any more people who sit down and lay back and say, no, this is what wrong, that is not wrong. And I know Sister Anita has been standing there for many years. From the time I was a member of the church until now, she stands there to receive people. And I want that to change. That people will go out there and say, yes, I'm Lord, I'm coming. Yes, Lord, I'm coming today, early today, at 9 o'clock. I'm going to welcome anyone who comes to this church. It doesn't matter who is it. I'm giving myself today. I'm going to pour out my life, my love to the other person. The love you gave me, I want to pour out to others. Amen? Praise God. So next month you'll see one more column there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed? Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. Your word says, the catchword today is, Lord, arise. Let's go out from this place. Arise, let's go from this place. Arise, let's go from this place. Lord, help us to go from glory to glory, Lord. Lord, help us from moving forward, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord. Give us the boldness without fear that we can move forward in our lives. We can move forward to the things. We can move forward that we can be edified by our wife or even a husband or even by our children. We can be edified in the church as a brother and sister, saints of the same citizenship of God, the Almighty Yahweh. Lord Jesus, help us today that you come into us, Lord, in mighty way. Use us, Lord. Use these vessels. Use these vessels, Lord. We are here. We are ready, Lord. Use us entirely, totally, so that we can pour out to you, to your people, to your saints, to the people who do not know you. We can pour out ourselves to you, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Help us to change our mind. Lord, as we are in the process of changing, as we are in the process of getting to do the things that you have done, Help us, Holy Spirit. Comfort her. Help us. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the love you give us. Thank you, Lord. We'll move on from now on. Move on. We will not stay in the same place. If we are hurt, we'll move on, bring hurt to be loved and to love others. If, Lord, if we have been stagnant in some place, we've been quarreling at home at all the times, Lord, help us to move on, to find peace in the household. Lord, if we've been all the time telling bad words, words that's not right, words that's condemning others, or even our family, we use that. Lord, help us to move on. Move out from the place of those condemnation. Move out from the place that of those words that are being used to Father. How can we come and worship you with the same mouth and the same lip when we condemn others? Or even use vulgar words. Move us out. Move us out, Lord Jesus. We want to go out from this place. If some of us are here, Lord, engrossed in pornography or any activity of the evil things of Father God, help us to move on. Move out from that place. Move out from the place. Lord, we'll move on. Unless we are acting on it, we can't achieve it. Lord Jesus, you knew what you wanted to do. And you said, arise. Let's go from this place. And he went on to the cross. Unto the grave. And he rose. Because he moved out from where you were sitting and preaching. That you're willing to go, Father. Help us to meet our arch rival. Fear, everything that is in our heart and our mind, everything that fear of, everything that we cannot see through, help us to move out those arch rivals in our life. Well, thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. We will arise. We will arise. We will not sit any longer. Arise and move from this place. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.